Georgia lawmakers are demanding answers from the White House on the man accused of killing a nursing student on UGA's campus. Police say the suspect, Jose Antonio Ibarra, is an undocumented migrant from Venezuela. And that has become a political flashpoint over U.S. immigration policies. Since news broke of Laken Riley's death, Governor Brian Kemp has questioned the security of our borders. During a pancakes and policy event in Athens, the governor said more needs to be done to make sure Georgians feel safe.
Hearts are breaking this morning for the family of Laken Riley. I had the honor of speaking to her parents over the weekend, and though they are bearing the pain that no parent should ever endure and of having to plan for burying their child, they're thankful for our prayers and our ongoing justice to see Laken's killer brought to justice. Marty and I will continue to keep their family, their friends, and the university community in our thoughts and prayers. This community, all of Georgia, and the entire country have been rocked by this inexcusable and avoidable murder. Laken's life should not have ended so soon, and we need to demand justice for what happened to her. She deserves justice, her family deserves justice, and we need justice on a national level to prevent this type of thing from happening again. Laken's death is a direct result of failed policies on the federal level and an unwillingness by this White House to secure the southern border. We need to demand better from this administration, and that's something that I've been doing since I've taken office, along with other governors across the country. And we've renewed that call multiple times, including again this weekend when I sent a letter to the president demanding more information on the illegal immigrants in our country, where they are, and if they've broken any of our laws. Because of the president's failures, we don't know all that we should, but we do know this. More than 8.5 million illegal immigrants have crossed the border since President Biden took office. In November of last year alone, over 1,700 pounds of fentanyl were seized at the southern border, nearly 16,000 pounds of meth. 169 people on the terror watch list were encountered at the southern border in fiscal year 2023, setting an all-time record. Those drugs, weapons, and dangerous criminals that aren't stopped at the border head to other states just like ours. In fact, there was a 55% increase in cases involving fentanyl seizures here in Georgia by the GBI between 2022 and 2023. And that doesn't even include all the seizures by local law enforcement. It is an understatement to say that this is a major crisis. And because of the White House's failures, every state, as I've said repeatedly, is now a border state. And Laken Riley's murder is just the latest proof of that. Just yesterday, Immigration and Customs Enforcement confirmed that her killer was in the country illegally, that he had been arrested in 2022 and was paroled and released back onto our streets. He was then arrested again last year in New York for trying to hurt a child and other charges. That is a failure of our system on multiple levels and at multiple times, and it has resulted in a young woman's death. That is inexcusable. In any absence of any real effort by the Biden administration to step up and address this crisis, as they continue to ignore the calls for meaningful policy change that governors like me have made for well over 2 years. I have committed further resources to helping secure the southern border and keeping our citizens safe. We already have the longest continuous presence of state guardsmen stationed on the border of any state, going back to when I first took office. Earlier this month, following my fifth trip to the southern border, I announced that we would send more troops to Texas to help in building a command center on the border with Mexico. And we're already putting more and more resources into public safety, including the pay for state law enforcement to retain and attract talented men and women who will keep our streets safe. I want to thank the General Assembly. I know a bunch of the local delegation is here this morning, for giving final passage to the Peace Officer Loan Repayment legislation we introduced last year. All of these measures and more are designed with the same goal, to keep Georgians like you safe. to keep Georgians' neighborhoods safe, to keep our schools safe, and to keep our businesses safe. Because everyone should feel secure in their local community. And as we further strengthen the places we call home, we will continue to build on great opportunities here in our state.
Immigration policy is a very politically charged topic, especially surrounding this case. Atlanta News First spoke with immigration attorney and Emory Law professor Charles Chuck to get the other side of this conversation.
So I know that you're an adjunct professor at Emory University, the School of Law, and you have really an incredible background in terms of immigration law, and you were the past president of the Alliance of Business Immigration Lawyers, among other things, past national president of the American Immigration Lawyers Association, et cetera, very impressive resume that you have. And we're lucky to have you here today, but we have you on for, unfortunately, a tragic case that we've been covering here on Atlanta News First. We have been covering the killing of a UGA student, 22-year-old nursing student on the University of Georgia campus this week. What we've learned is that the suspect charged in the killing of the 22-year-old was previously arrested in 2022 after illegally entering the U.S. near El Paso, Texas. A spokesperson for ICE, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, confirmed on Sunday. Jose Antonio Ibarra, 26 years old, had also been arrested in New York City last year, according to ICE. Ibarra now faces malice murder, felony murder, among other counts in connection with the killing of Lakin Riley, who was found dead on the UGA campus on Thursday. Ibarra, a citizen of Venezuela, was arrested by U.S. Customs and Border Protection after unlawfully entering the U.S. near El Paso. This was in September of 2022. He was paroled. He was released for further processing. And then on September of 2023, Ibarra was arrested by NYPD. Okay, so this is why, you know, we're so happy to have you and your expertise here. So here we have an individual who's really got a very concerning past. Certainly, you know, Governor Kemp has painted this in part as an immigration issue and an immigration control issue. What's your take?
Well, politicians will never let a good crisis go to waste. The reality here is that our laws and our immigration system are broken. This is simply another piece of evidence of that. But they're broken not because President Biden doesn't enforce the law. That's actually contrary to the truth. They're broken because they were written 40 years ago for an economy and a society that's very different today. This man came into the United States, he crossed the river, and he apparently sat down and waited for the Border Patrol to find him, as many Venezuelans did back in 2022. CBP then had two choices. Customs and Border Protection, the Border Patrol had two choices at that point. They could detain him or they could release him if he claimed that he was afraid to return to Venezuela. Now, that's very common for Venezuelans to come here and say, I'm afraid of my country. I'm afraid I'll be persecuted if I'm there. I don't support the government. And so the policy choice made by our Congress is that or you come illegally and you say, I'm afraid of going back home, you are allowed to remain in the United States and apply for asylum. Now, the Biden administration currently detains about 35,000 people a day in the detention facilities around the United States that are run or controlled by ICE. Those detention facilities are full. So if more people come in the next day, there's no place to put them. That's clearly what happened here. A few months ago, Congress
the next day, Atlanta News First was the only news crew to capture the arrest of 26-year-old Jose Ibarra in an apartment complex.
And what happened here, unfortunately, is that nobody could read minds. Nobody knew this man was going to kill somebody in the United States. So they released him, because they had no place to put him. The most recent bill that's on hold in the House would increase the number of detention spaces. I would suggest that maybe it's a good time to pass that bill to increase detention spaces. Now, you mentioned that he had been arrested. I've seen a couple of conflicting pieces of information. One, the NYPD says they have no record of arresting him, which is odd, but it is NYPD. The other report said he was arrested for driving an unregistered car with a child in it. So it's basically a traffic violation. He was apparently detained, a misdemeanor in New York, detained by New York, police, then by PD, and then released as it, on recognizance, as is their policy on simple misdemeanors like this. So it's not that ICE didn't pick him up or ICE wasn't notified, generally speaking, under the Biden administration, unless you commit a felony or you are convicted of a crime, you don't really get picked up because there is no place to hold you. So it really all goes back to Congress at the end of the day. What is Congress going to do? I know the state of Georgia may, in fact, decide we're going to pass this bill or pass that bill. The states don't control immigration in the United States. I saw that one comment today or one Politico was going to say we should detain every immigrant who's arrested. Okay, if that's what you're going to do, you have a legal right to do that. But that immigrant has a legal right to bond under our Constitution, and Constitution does apply to undocumented immigrants as well. The reality is there's no simple solution to this. It's a very complicated issue with tragic consequences here, and it's absolutely terrible what's happened. I would hope that politicians would use this opportunity to fix our immigration laws the right way instead of playing politics with it. Your audio, I can't hear. I heard when I was talking, the audio came on. Maybe something was switched
okay.
at that time.
Okay, I apologize. Let me try that again. I apologize. So I want to ask you about sanctuary cities. So in the state of Georgia, Atlanta, Clayton County, DeKalb County, Athens, Clark County are all considered sanctuary cities. I'm not sure. Could you hear that one?
Who considers them sanctuary cities? Who would say that?
According to U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. No, you don't consider them sanctuary cities?
Because they're not. And okay. USCIS does not publish information about who is a sanctuary city. I don't know where that information is. That may have come from the Center for Immigration Studies, okay. which is an anti-immigration think tank. That's an entirely different thing. But no, they're not sanctuary cities. They routinely arrest undocumented immigrants and keep them detained for ICE to be picked up if they have committed felonies that make them deportable.
And Athens, Clark County included. So this was kind of included in some of the reporting. You would not consider it a sanctuary city.
Absolutely not. First of all, it's illegal in Georgia to be a sanctuary city. It's actually a state law that makes it illegal. Certainly not sanctuary cities. Well, I think what that group may be referring to is they don't automatically call ICE when they arrest somebody on a traffic offense. That's very different from calling ICE when somebody's arrested for a crime. Obviously, this guy was arrested in Clark County, ICE was immediately called. Clearly not a sanctuary city. New York, however, may, in fact, New York City may be a sanctuary city, but there is no city in Georgia that's a sanctuary city. I can assure you of that.
Okay. All right. Apologize, we're just having a little technical issue here. So
that's okay.
With regards to this case, obviously people hire you to handle their immigration issues. You're not ICE. You're the other side, right? I mean, you're helping.
No, I don't work for the government. No.
That's right. So you're essentially working on the other side. So if I just want to kind of provide that context a little bit for our viewers. Yeah, go ahead.
It's interesting here. This person's this person is not in ICE custody. He will likely never be in ICE custody because it looks like he's going to either get the death penalty or serve his life in prison. So he will likely never get into ICE custody. But ICE does have a detainer on him, which means, hey, if you were going to release him, call us. They would then detain him and not release him. This guy's brother was apparently arrested for using a fake green card, which is truly odd because Venezuelans who came in 2022 were allowed to apply for what's called temporary protected status and get a work permit. Why neither of these guys did that, I don't know. I mean, we help people do that, so it's a little unclear why they didn't do that. But the tragedy here is that it happened at all. People say if you close the border, you can't close the border. You know, the border's open for trade. Border's open for people. The border's never really been closed except during the pandemic when it was closed because of the pandemic. But during times of normalcy like we have now, it's not closed. What you're seeing, though, is a rush of people to come here because certain broadcast channels keep saying the border's open. Well, if the press keeps saying the border's open, guess what people who are not in on the joke in the United States think? Oh, it's open. I'm actually just going to come. So it's a self-perpetuating problem. And once everybody's on the same page, so no, the laws still apply, you still get arrested, you can be detained. Once Congress allocates enough money, this problem will begin to dissipate.
When it comes to this particular defendant, Jose Ibarra, what are the next steps? What is, if you're his attorney, how do you inform him of his rights? What do you tell him he should expect in the weeks or months to come? And then I want to ask about the flip side.
Oh, good. Well, I'm not a criminal defense lawyer, but I would imagine he would tell him not to talk, which I'm sure he already has. They apparently have overwhelming evidence of his culpability with some video that captured what was happening. The reality is he's in Georgia. We're a death penalty state. They're clearly going to seek the death penalty against this guy. What he did was absolutely inexcusable. And so, again, he's probably never going to see the light of day, ever. He certainly won't be deported because I think he's going to die in prison here. And I would be honest with him and tell him that.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, you're not pulling any punches there. You're telling it straight.
It's best to tell clients falsehoods or give them false hope. You just tell the truth and let the facts land where they may.
And so obviously in your line of work, you help folks with immigration issues and this is, I think, one of the things that you're trying to do is to make a distinction between an immigration issue and a crime. Is that, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, what this guy did needs to be punished by the law. Punish him by the law. But you can't say the million people, the 2 million people that have come in are all like this guy. Mm-hmm. You should be painting Americans with the same paintbrush. I mean, if some guy goes out and kills somebody who's born here, well, everybody's not terrible. There are bad apples in every bunch. The key with immigration is to use the tools that are currently available to ascertain the risk of flight, the risk of committing a crime in the future, and you make your best judgment call as an agency that is overwhelmed and underfunded. Now, if Congress wants to detain, if Thomas wants to make it mandatory to detain everybody that comes to the United States, they can actually do that. The Constitution would allow that to happen. But that would require funding. It would require money. It would require the House of Representatives to actually pass an immigration bill. Because the current law does not let ICE do that as it's currently structured.
Mm-hmm. So, as you know, Governor Kemp sent a letter to President Biden. I'm going to pop that letter up for our viewers to see if I can get the technology up. You know, I'm not really great on technology, but there we go. There's a look at that letter for our viewers. And Governor Kemp, has requested an update on the efforts to secure the southern border. He called the death of Lake and Riley on UGA's campus, quote, inexcusable and avoidable, and also said that her death is a direct result of failed border policies and a lack of action from the White House. I actually want to play a clip from Governor Kemp earlier today. Let's listen.
People from New Hampshire and Montana are begging the press to secure the southern border. I mean, this is what we have feared would happen, because we have 7.5-8.5 million people that have come in our country illegally.
So what do you think?
Well, I think it's a great talking point to say to secure the border. Why hasn't anybody asked Governor Kemp exactly what he means by secure the border? What do you mean? How do you think it should be done? It's easy to say President Biden should secure the border. What does that mean at the end of the day? How does he secure the border? Here's the reality. The president doesn't make the laws in the United States. The president enforces the laws. With the money allocated by Congress, if there isn't enough money allocated, there isn't enough much enforcement. So this is something, it's not Biden policies here. At the end of the day, this is a bad political situation for the president, but it's also a bad political situation for people like Governor Kemp, who are not offering solutions. I noticed that one thing in his letter that he points out, that in January, the Biden administration seized 2,500 pounds of fentanyl. Where's the congratulations? They actually found it, which, by the way, that all comes, almost all of that comes through ports of entry carried by U.S. citizens. It doesn't come through undocumented immigrants. Where's the congratulations? What about the thank you to the immigrants who have come to Georgia that have propelled our economy forward? Where's that thank you? It's not always about, I know it's great politically in his party to attack immigrants, but the reality is immigrants are not the problem. They're the solution to many of our problems. And at the end of the day, we need to fix these issues, which are horrendous, but which are easily fixable with the correct legislation.
No, okay. You clearly disagree with the governor's statement. And we appreciate you sharing your opinion. Any final thoughts?
Well, I would just, I mean, anybody who's watching this, of course, if you've got an issue with immigration, you should call your senators, call your congressmen and say, why don't you pass the bill? And you can't rely on a law last written in 1980 to enforce the border in 2023 or 2024. You just can't. The ways of life have changed. It's no longer Mexicans coming in for work, which it was in the 80s. Now it's an entirely different dynamic with a wildly changed global migration problem that can be addressed to our benefit. Call your congressman. Call your senator. Do something about it instead of complain about it.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Charles Cook. We really appreciate you joining us and sharing your expertise and analysis. Before I do let you go, I also want to just kind of open it up for you to invite the viewers to reach out to you if maybe they think that you could help. Can you kind of clarify a little bit more about what sorts of cases you are interested in taking on and how people could reach out to you?
Well, we have a relatively large firm of immigration lawyers and paralegals. We do every type of immigration law. So asylum, TPS, removal defense, family. We do a lot of, probably done thousands of marriage cases, and lots of business cases as well, employment and investors. You can reach us. We're actually really simple. You can reach us at www.immigration.net. I've been around a long time. That's how you get immigration.net. And we're here to help people solve their immigration problems, to comply with the law and do things the right way.
Got it. Well, thank you so much, Attorney Charles Cook, joining us. And, you know, we really do appreciate you bringing your insight to this case. And I do want to just let our viewers know that we have extended coverage on AtlantaNewsFirst.com. If you'd like to read more about this case, the murder of a student on the UGA campus, we have much more on AtlantaNewsFirst.com. Thanks for joining us and have a great day.